The grout looks fine. That's always the problem. You stand in the shower and you look at those lines, and they look like they're doing their job. Gray, intact, maybe a little dingy. And what you don't see is what's been happening behind them for the last 18 months. Water finding a fracture in a grout line you can't see from the surface. Migrating into the substrate beneath the tile. Reaching the backer board, which, if whoever built that shower used drywall instead of cement board, and more showers than you'd think were built that way in the 90s and early 2000s, has been slowly dissolving for 2 years before you ever noticed a soft spot in the wall. I learned grout the hard way in a 50-year-old house with original ceramic tile. The shower looked presentable. The grout was cracked at every corner joint, meaning every place where two planes of tile met. And water had been running inside the wall for long enough that when I pulled the first tile to inspect the backer, it came away with fibers of wet drywall attached to the back of it, like the wall had been trying to hold on. That was a 48-hour job I had planned as a half-day touch-up. So before we talk about how to regrout correctly, let me talk about what happens when you don't, because that's the part that changes how carefully you do the prep. Ceramic and porcelain tile are nearly impervious to water. The grout between them is not. Sanded grout is porous by nature. Unsanded grout in the narrow joints seals better, but still fractures under thermal cycling. The expansion and contraction of hot water hitting cold tile every single shower over years. The joints that fail first are always the corners. Always. The 90-degree joint between the floor and wall, between two walls, along the edges of the bench, if there is one. These corners are designed to be caulked, not grouted, because caulk is flexible and moves with the tile, and grout is rigid and cracks. If you see grout in the corners of your shower, at any corner joint, that is incorrect installation, and it is where water is entering if it's been there more than a year. The second failure point is where the grout meets the fixture penetrations, the shower valve stem, the spout, the showerhead stubout. These areas need to be caulked, not grouted, for the same reason the corners do. If there's grout sealing around your valve, and it's cracking, which it will, water is following the pipes into the wall cavity. Now here's the tool on my bench that I want you to remember. An oscillating multi-tool with a grout removal blade. I had a pencil stub and a box of wooden toothpicks for 3 jobs before I figured this out. Toothpicks to poke test the grout lines, pencil stub to mark the ones that failed the poke test, meaning the pencil tip went in more than 1/4 inch under firm pressure. The oscillating tool is not optional for this job if you want to do it without cracking adjacent tiles. Grout rakes exist and are cheaper, but on older installations with tight joints, the manual raking force you apply to get out old grout will travel into the tile body and hairline crack tiles you can't see until you've regrouted and they show through. The oscillating blade vibrates rather than drags. It cuts the grout out without transmitting force into the tile. The prep is 60% of this job. If you skip the prep or rush it, you will be regrouting again within 2 years and possibly demoing the wall between now and then. Remove all grout to a depth of 3/16 of an inch minimum. I use a depth stop on my oscillating blade, a piece of tape wrapped around the blade at that measurement, so I don't go past the tile thickness into the backer. You want to remove enough grout that the new material has mechanical purchase in the joint. If you just scratch the surface of old grout and add new grout on top, the bond is between new and old grout, not new grout and tile. That bond fails within months. You want clean tile face on both sides of the joint, with old grout removed to depth. Clean the joint. Use a vacuum and a stiff brush. Then use an isopropyl alcohol wipe on the tile face. You are removing the surface oils, the soap film, the calcium deposits, the residue of 20 years of products. The grout bonds to the tile. Anything between the grout and the tile body is a failure surface. This is where I made my mistake once, on a bathroom I was regrouting in a rental property on a tight schedule. I did the removal right, but I skipped the alcohol wipe because I thought the vacuuming was sufficient. The new grout started lifting at the tile edge about 8 months later, not failing through the joint, failing at the adhesion surface. The microscopic soap film on the tile face had been enough to compromise the bond. 30 seconds with a shop rag and a squirt bottle. Skip it and redo the job. For the new grout, I use unsanded grout for joints under an eighth of an inch, which is most wall tile. I use sanded grout for joints over an eighth inch, which is common in floor tile and some older installations. Check your joint width before you buy. The difference matters for both consistency and bond. Using sanded grout in a hairline joint will not pack correctly, and using unsanded in a wide joint will shrink and crack. Mix to peanut butter. Thinner grout is easier to spread, but weaker in the joint and more prone to shrinkage cracking as it cures. The consistency that makes the job harder to apply is the consistency that holds. Work in sections. I do about 4 square feet at a time. Float the grout diagonally across the joints. Grout float at a 45-degree angle to the grout line, not parallel to it. If you drag the float parallel to the joint, you'll pull material back out of the joint instead of pressing it in. Wait 20 to 30 minutes and wash with a damp sponge. Not wet, damp. Too much water at this stage dilutes the grout at the surface, weakens the color, and draws cement bloom to the face of the tile that becomes the white haze you cannot get off without acid. Squeeze the sponge until you think it's dry enough. Then squeeze it once more. The corners and fixture penetrations get caulk, not grout. Match the caulk color to your grout. Apply after the grout has cured, 24 hours minimum before the caulk goes in. The caulk needs a grout line to bond to on both sides, and fresh grout will contaminate the caulk bond. Tape the caulk line, run a smooth bead, tool it with a wet finger. Pull the tape immediately before the bead skins over. Seal it. Most ceramic and porcelain grout should be sealed. The sealer goes on after the grout has cured for 72 hours and the caulk has cured for 24. Penetrating silicone sealer applied with a small brush along each grout line, not flooded over the tile, applied precisely to the joint. Wipe the excess off the tile face within 5 minutes. Let it cure 48 hours before the shower is used. The thing that happens when you do this right is that the shower goes from being something you're managing to something you trust. That sound the grout used to make when you pressed it, that hollow tap under the finger, goes away. The corners stop holding moisture. The joint at the floor wall transition stops going gray within a week of cleaning. What's the job that's been waiting in your bathroom? The one you keep looking at and deciding to handle next weekend?